Let us turn then to the book of Genesis, which we're studying together in our evening services, to chapter 9, verse 8. We read from Genesis 9, verses 8 to 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. We end our reading at the close of the 17th verse. From the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 54. Isaiah, chapter 54. We read the first 10 verses from this chapter. God is speaking through the prophet to a people in exile, a people who are downhearted and discouraged, who have been punished by God for their sins. And God is using a number of word pictures here to show them how their sorrow is going to turn to joy and how days of blessing are going to come after the exile. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back, as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion, I will bring you back. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. To me, this is like the days of Noah. when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth, so now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Amen. We pray that God will bless the word as it has been read and as it will be preached among us. Let us bring to God our evening offering. This is our 20th study in these early chapters of Genesis from chapter 4. And we look this evening at chapter 9, verses 8 to 17, our subject, the rainbow. We can never exaggerate the kindness of God. We can never state it too highly. We can never say more about God's kindness than he deserves. The Bible tells us that God is love. But God, in the very essence of his being, is goodness and mercy and grace and kindness to his creatures. The devil wants us to doubt that God is kind. He came to the mother of us all, Eve, in the Garden of Eden, and he inserted into her mind unworthy suspicions and lying insinuations about the kindness and goodness of God. And he has done so ever since. We need to remind ourselves constantly, against the urging of the devil, that God is kind. And it is shown clearly in the account of the rainbow in Genesis chapter 9. We've seen two studies ago at the end of chapter 8 how God came to a decision, as it were, and decided that until the day of judgment, he would never again destroy the earth. He's going to permit the existence of evil in this world. And he wasn't going to intervene to wipe it out until the end. And now he tells Noah and his family what he has decided. Verse 8. Then God said to Noah and his sons. That is a mark of his kindness. He doesn't keep them in suspense. He doesn't say to himself, I'll keep these people on tenterhooks. I'll keep them worried about another flood. That'll keep them on their toes and on their good behavior. He doesn't hold them in fear. But right at the beginning, God reassures them and speaks kindly that the world will continue. Don't be afraid, Noah, he says. There won't be another flood. God spoke to Noah. And he did more than speak. Here's more than a simple statement. He says in verse 8, I now establish my covenant with you. Again in verse 11, I establish my covenant with you. And another six times in this short passage, he repeats this word covenant. Eight times in almost as many verses. A covenant is a solemn, sworn pledge. The most sacred and binding promise that anyone can ever make. God not only tells Noah that there won't be a flood, but he makes a covenant. He binds himself. He pledges himself. Here is a mark of his kindness. This is just not a casual statement on God's part. This is my firm, fixed purpose that I am determined to do and pledge myself by my honor and glory that I will keep this promise. Here's tremendous reassurance. It's the strongest possible affirmation to encourage Noah and his family. This kindness doesn't even end there. He not only informs Noah and his sons, He not only makes a sworn covenant, but he gives a sign of the covenant. Verse 13, I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant. The commentators disagree as to whether this is the first time that the rainbow ever appeared in the sky, or whether the rainbow had appeared before, but God is now giving it a new meaning. John Calvin takes that second view. He argues that the rainbow has always existed since the sun was created. But he says, I quote, now a new office is assigned to it. So there always was a rainbow, but now God gives it a new meaning. On the other hand, the German commentator Delitzsch argues that the atmosphere on earth before the flood was so different from that which now is in the earth that the rainbow now appears for the first time. But what matters to us is the rainbow itself. And what we can learn from the rainbow as a covenant sign. And I want to explore that with you this evening with five brief questions. Try to remember the questions if you can, because we'll be coming back at them later from another angle. What can we learn about the rainbow, the sign of the covenant? Firstly, we ask, who gives it? Who gives it? The answer is, God gives it. God gives it. Verse 13, I have set. The Hebrew is even stronger than that. The Hebrew is literally, I behold, I. There's great stress on the I myself, I and no other. I, behold, I have set. And then he describes it as my rainbow. Here the activity of God is emphasized. I, behold, I have set my rainbow. Human beings are not consulted. Something God decides to do. Human cooperation is not needed. We don't help to produce the rainbow. It is a sovereign, mighty act of God alone. It appears in the heavens. It is clearly of divine origin. When we see the rainbow, we are seeing something that is not man-made. It is a work of God's hands. God gives it. And that means, friends, that it is an official, authoritative sign. It is a sign from the maker of the world, the ruler of the world. It is a sign that we can depend on. It is a sign that can be believed. We can rely on it and trust it. It isn't a man-made thing. It isn't what we would like to happen. It's what God promises will happen. And the sign is from God. That's why our catechism describes a sacrament as a holy ordinance instituted by Christ. There are only two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, because Christ only gave two. Other so-called man-made sacraments have no authority. They have no validity. God hasn't given them. It's also a further evidence of God's kindness. He didn't need to give a sign. He was under no compulsion. It flowed from his own free goodness and mercy. Who gives it? Who gives the rainbow the sign of the covenant? God gives it. It's authoritative and it's kind. Secondly, we ask to whom it is given. To whom is this sign given? And the answer is to all those for whom it is intended. To all those who are embraced in the covenant. To all those to whom the promise applies. Those are the ones to whom it is given. God tells us in verses 9 and 10. I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, with the birds, the livestock, and all wild animals, with every living creature on earth. It is a universal covenant. It is given to all creation, to every living thing on the surface of this planet. It includes many creatures who aren't even conscious that there is a covenant, or that they are part of the covenant. But although they're not conscious that they're part of the covenant, they are part of the covenant. And God has made the covenant with them. And the sign of the covenant is appropriate to the nature of the covenant, because it's a universal covenant, it's a universal sign. It's not limited. It's not secret. It's not something that happens in a room among a few believers. It is something which is very public and open as possible. It stretches high across the horizon, a phenomenon in the heavens. The beautiful mix of colors attracts the attention and the admiration of everyone who sees it. A very public, visible, universal, simple sign. A sign for everyone, because the covenant is for everyone. The sign for you, because the covenant is for you. To whom is the sign given? To all those who are included in the promise. Thirdly, we ask, in what circumstances is the sign given? In what circumstances is the sign given? And it is given at a moment of crisis. At a moment of crisis, when people are afraid and trembling and deeply disturbed. In order for there to be a rainbow, there has to be rain. The rainbow is caused by the raindrops reflecting and refracting the rays of the sun, so that the white light is broken up into its component colors. The red color is bent the least, and the violet is bent most acutely. And in order for there to be a rainbow, you need millions of raindrops to exist, many millions, to reflect and bend the light. We can only imagine what the feelings of Noah and his family might have been the first time it started to rain after the flood, and the awful terror that would have gripped them, could have gripped them. It's very possible that there had been no rain at all on earth before the flood. We're told in Genesis 2:5 that the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. So it seems that when the world was created, there was no rain. And then in chapter 7, verse 4, God says, 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth. Now, we can't absolutely, positively say that he had not sent rain before that, but we know that in Genesis 2 there had been no rain, and in Genesis 7 at the beginning of the flood he said, I'm going to send rain. Seems to me very possible that up to this point there had been no rain. So in Noah's mind, rain meant judgment. The only rain he ever knew was the rain of judgment. The only time the skies had opened was when the flood was coming. And now they've been delivered. One day they're out in the fields, and the sky grows dark, and it starts to rain. What are they going to think? They're going to remember the last time it started to rain. And what happened then? The whole world was drowned. They're going to say, is this God's judgment again? Is this him coming to us in anger? The rain begins to fall from the skies. And at the moment when the rain begins to fall, the sign is given. The sign doesn't come till the rain comes. You don't see a rainbow on a bright, clear, sunny day. It's a rainbow. And it's given at the moment of crisis, the moment of danger, of apprehension, of fear, of need. The sign comes to meet the need. We ask fourthly, why is it given? Why is it given? Well, it's given to reassure these men and their families. To reassure them. To comfort them. It's given to tell them that this rain isn't another flood. The rainbow is saying to them as the rain begins to fall, don't worry. Don't fear. I'm not coming in destruction. This rain is to bring the crops to fruition. This rain is to provide you with water. This rain is a blessing. The sign is given to drive away their fears, to assure them that God's promise still stands, a covenant for all generations to come, verse 12. The everlasting covenant, verse 16. And the sign, you see, is it ideally suited for the purpose. Verse 14, the rainbow appears in the clouds. It's caused by the sun and the rain together. The sun shining through the rain. It's caused by God's love overcoming God's judgment. They're both together. The rain's there, it's raining, but the sun triumphs over the rain in its glorious beauty. And in a few moments their apprehension and their fear is replaced by wonder and praise. The rain begins to fall and they tremble, and then suddenly they see the rainbow shining through the rain. God is saying, I love you, I care for you, I will not destroy you. There's a beautiful Jewish prayer in the sacred Jewish Talmud. Every pious Jew, whenever he or she sees a rainbow, is supposed to say, Blessed be thou, Jehovah our God, King of eternity, ever mindful of thy covenant, faithful in thy covenant, firm in thy word. It's given to reassure. Then lastly, what does the sign do? What does the rainbow do? What's its purpose? It reminds God of his promise. It reminds God of his promise. Verse 14, whenever I bring the clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant. It's a memorandum to God. Again in verse 16, I will see it and I will remember the everlasting covenant. It's to remind God, to stop God forgetting. That seems strange, doesn't it? Does God need reminding? Is God absent-minded? Of course not. But it's telling us something valuable. What really matters? It really doesn't matter whether we remember the covenant or not. We can't stop the rain falling. What matters is, does God remember? Does God remember? And the rainbow's saying to us, God remembers. It would be of limited value if it was just to remind us. It does remind us. As we saw the Jewish prayer, it reminds us of the covenant. Whenever we see the rainbow, we remember the covenant. But what's far more important is that whenever God sees the rainbow, God remembers the covenant. And the sign of the covenant is directed to him. And it assures us that God cannot forget, that God cannot overlook, he cannot neglect his promise. The sign is for our sake, but it's saying to us, this is a reminder to God. God remembers. The same Hebrew word that is used here of the rainbow is also used of the war bow, a very powerful and fearful weapon in the ancient world. There is no arrow in this bow, but note the way the bow is pointed. It's not pointed down towards earth in judgment. The curve of the bow is directed upwards towards heaven. The bow is shooting a message, an arrow of remembrance to the heart of God. It is directed towards God. It's given to reassure us, and it reminds God of his promise. Surely this is a wonderful sign of this covenant. And yet we ask, is there anything deeper here? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "These are the scriptures that testify about me." Can we see Christ here? And if so, where can we see him? And I don't think it's fanciful or straining to link Christ with the rainbow. Perhaps you remember in Ezekiel chapter 1 how the prophet saw the glory of the Lord as he was seated on the throne of heaven. And he says of the Lord, he was a figure like that of a man. So he sees God in human form. And he says in verse 28, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. And in the New Testament version of Ezekiel, which is the book of Revelation, the Apostle John likewise sees a figure sitting on the heavenly throne. And in Revelation 4:3, he makes the same connection. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. This heavenly figure is linked in both Ezekiel and Revelation with the rainbow. That connection is made even more specific in Isaiah 54. For God is speaking about the salvation of his people, and the fact that they are sure of glory. And in that chapter, God draws a clear covenant, a clear parallel between the covenant here with Noah, given to Noah, and the covenant of grace through Christ. And in Isaiah 54, 9 and 10, he says, to me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. My covenant of peace will never be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. So God's universal covenant with Noah and with all the creatures is here linked with God's covenant of salvation in Christ. I believe that we're meant in this chapter to see a prefiguring of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sign of the covenant and the covenant himself. Let's go back in closing to our five questions. Who gave them? God gave him. God the Father, out of his love and mercy, he is the official gift. He is the authoritative gift. He is the gift on whom we can rely. God gave his only begotten Son. To whom was he given? He was given to all included in the covenant. To all who inherit the promises of the covenant. He was given to all embraced by the covenant. To all the elect. In what circumstances was he given? He was given in a crisis. The crisis of sin. The Lord Jesus, of course, is our King and our teacher and our friend. And we need all of that. But most of all, he is our Savior.
He is our Savior. That is who we need him as. Because we face a far greater crisis than a shower of rain. We face the sure and certain judgment of God and hell. And in that context, he is given, for he shall save his people from their sins. Fourthly, we ask, why is he given? He's given to reassure us. He's given to bring us to faith. He's given to awaken hope. He's given to remind us that there is forgiveness with God. At the cross, the clouds of sin and judgment gathered, and the sky was dark. And suddenly the sunlight of God's grace shines through the rain clouds of sin and judgment. And the sunlight shining in the rain clouds creates a rainbow, a thing of awesome beauty and kindness and grace. And the cross of Christ, so threatening and so ugly and so fearsome, suddenly becomes our life and our hope and our assurance that God delights in mercy. On a rainy day, as we look at the darkness, we see suddenly shining from heaven the many-colored light of God's mercy. And heaven and earth are joined together. Then the sign that begins in heaven comes down on earth. There's no pot of gold at the foot of the rainbow, but there's something far more precious. So Christ Jesus is the one, as it were, who shines through the judgment and turns it into a thing of beauty and a call to faith. Then lastly, what does the sign of the covenant do? He reminds God. He reminds God. Paul tells us in Romans 8:34 that Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us, speaking to his Father on our behalf, pleading our case, holding out his death for us. My friends, the important thing ultimately for you and me tonight is not how we feel about ourselves. It is how God reacts towards us, how God sees us. What is his view of us? Christ Jesus is a reminder to God, a reminder of his pledge and his promise and his covenant to forgive us. The Father looks and his judgment is satisfied. Whenever the rainbow appears, we read here in verse 16, God says, I will see it, and I will remember the everlasting covenant. And Christ now appears for us in the presence of God. And God sees him, God the Father, and he remembers the everlasting covenant.